It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a Life and Love Transformational Coach at Your Next Amazing Story. I'm so excited because today we have a very special guest, Ken Bechtel, and he's a love mentor. And today we're talking about what men really need to fall in love with you, ladies. So I know you're dying to know the answer to that question. But before we jump into it, Ken, I would love for you to share with the ladies, how did you become a love mentor?
Well, that's a great question because for me, and I'm not going to go through all the details, but it literally started in fourth grade. I performed my first marriage on the playground in fourth grade. You know, kids on the playground. But who knows why the kids that were quote-unquote dating at that point came to me to do that. And ever since, I was always the guy people came to for relationship and dating advice, and it just kind of evolved throughout my life. Even when I tried to get away from it, it wouldn't let go of me. And, you know, here I am many, many decades later and doing this work.
Well, so here's a great question. Did those two kids on the playground really get married in real life?
You know, they didn't. They didn't. They were like the first kids that were quote unquote boyfriend, girlfriend. And no, that didn't last.
Well, that's okay. But that was your start into your love mentoring career. So that's a cute story. I love that story. I think that's the earliest story I've ever heard of where it started. So you win the award for that. So Ken, you know, you are a man. But I know you know how a lot of men think and what they want. And so can you share with the ladies what it is truly that a man needs? Because I'm sure it's not one thing. It's many things. But what are some things that a man really needs to fall in love with a woman?
Well, this is, like you said, this is the million-dollar question, right? And what's interesting about it is it's typically not what people think. And it's not what they've been told. So I used to do a event where I would do kind of a he said, she said. We'd split the room up, male and female, and they got to ask each other questions. And this question came up every single time I did it. No matter what, somebody asked this. How do we get the second day? What are they looking for? All those things. And it didn't matter the age. It didn't matter the, you know, economic status or anything. The guys would be like perplexed. Like, what do you mean? Because the question's always, what do we need to do? What do we need to do to get you to, you know, follow up, to commit, to ask us out again, et cetera? And the guys in one way or another would say, it's just like there's something about you. There's some, you know, energy or vibe. I mean, most guys don't use the word energy, but they're like, yeah, there's just something I like about you that I want to be around. It wasn't a thing. It was a vibration, right? It was an energy. So it always reminds me of that movie, There's Something About Mary. That's exactly how guys say it. We don't know what it is, but there's just something about you. But what brings that about, because that what it really is life force energy. It's your essence coming forward. So when you're authentic, when you're enthusiastic, when you're confident, well, that's interesting. When you're, you know, trying to manage the situation or play it safe or not show too much interest because you don't want him to think you're a pushover, that's not interesting. It might be nice, we had an enjoyable evening, but that's not going to get the guy to follow up because there's lots of people you can have an enjoyable evening with. It's being unique, right? It's your individuality is what makes you special. So if you're trying to be like everybody else, it's kind of like if you think of musicians, like a lot of musicians start out being cover artists and playing other people's music. Well, you never remember them for how they played somebody else's music. If they don't go on and perform their own music, you won't remember them at all.
Yeah, so that's a great tip.
Yeah.
That's so true. You don't. You don't remember cover bands. You just remember them that they were really good at playing like Fleetwood Mac or whoever it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is interesting because I hear a lot of women say sometimes that they're afraid to show up on the first date as themselves. Like they think they have to do and say the right thing. And what would you say to her when she says that?
I would say you've been misled. Because if I'm on a date with somebody, I want to meet that person, not some package program idea of what you think men want or what somebody told you, oh, a guy in that industry is looking for, you know, whether they've told you to be something you're not or to not be something you are, right? Because countless women sit there and dumb down the fact that they're really smart or they're really successful or they've done these things because they don't want to intimidate the guy. That's not going to intimidate a guy, not the right guy, right? The right guy's going to be like, wow, that's fantastic. That's exciting. Doesn't mean he had to do the same things, but he's excited about who you are. Mm-hmm. The guys who are quote unquote intimidated are the guys who weren't a match anyhow. That's why they're intimidated. They're like, wow, what am I doing here? I'm way out of my league. Well, they wouldn't have been a match no matter how you dumbed yourself down, because eventually your true essence would have shown up.
Right.
You can only dumb yourself down for so long, right? That doesn't work. It's like trying to hold your breath. Eventually, you got to let it out.
Well, and what I always say is if you show up as someone you're not, like trying to impress him and being something that you're not, is you can only hold up that acting job for so long. And then at a certain point, like months down the road, you're going to be so exhausted from trying to be something that you're not, that you're going to have to show up at some point as yourself, right?
Well, and here's the catch-22, right? So you've been acting like a certain personality type because you thought that's what he wanted and he asked you out again, so it must be what he wanted. So you're continuing that. And the whole time in the back of your head, you're wondering, when can I just be me? Well, the longer you go, the more you're invested, which means the more you have to lose, and it'll never feel safe to just be yourself. And eventually you'll resent him for something he didn't even do. You did it.
Right.
But it'll feel like he won't let me be myself. Well, he doesn't even know who yourself is.
Right.
So we've got to manage that and go, quit trying to be somebody else. Be yourself. The faster you find out if they're a match, the better.
Okay. So here's a great question, though, for you. Okay. Yeah. Is a lot of strong, independent women, right, can look feminine on the outside, but they can carry a lot of masculine energy.
Sure.
And they're very much in their own personal lives, very much doers, taking the lead, taking control. But can't that repel the right man away if she like doesn't allow him to really step into the relationship or into the dating phase as the man and leave space for him to do what he needs to do in the dating and relationship phase?
Well, yeah, absolutely. The question you want to ask yourself, ladies, is would it be nice to not have to be the man in your own life?
Ooh, I like that.
Like, if you're going to show that's what you're doing, well, he's going to assume you like doing that. And he's never going to offer to take it from you when you're sitting there, I want him to lead, but you're leading, and therefore he's going to think, well, because guys don't do things they don't enjoy. So he's going to assume the same for you. So even, oh, she likes planning the date. She likes doing all this. And you'll be sitting there going, why won't he lead? Because he thinks you like it. He thinks you're happy. And he doesn't want to make you unhappy. So he goes, okay, I would love to plan him, but she's all into that, so I don't want to take that from her. So you're literally misinforming him of what you're looking for. And you're never going to have the guy be the man in your life because he doesn't see a spot for him to show up that way. So you've got to trust that he can do that and give him that opportunity. Now, if he fails on that, that's a different story. But you can't assume that I have to take care of this because he never will. Or he definitely won't because it's already done. And men are about efficiency. So they'll be like, well, that's already taken care of. I have no reason to do it myself. That's hard.
Or do double duty, right?
Yeah,
like both of us. Why would we both do that? Yeah, that's so true. So, you know, I know you said it's a feeling. There's something about Mary or whoever, right? But, you know, is there any qualities that a man truly looks for in a woman in the early stages of dating?
Yeah. Do you want to know what they are?
I know you're going to have like some smart ass answer. Okay, what are they?
The biggest one is receptivity. If there's not a space for him, if he can't contribute in some way, he doesn't see a role. And many women have had guys say, you know, I don't see where I fit in your life. I don't feel needed here. I don't have a spot. Because everything they've offered has been shut down. No, I got that. I'm fine. No, never mind. I don't need your help. Whatever it is, because you think that's being, you know, independent and confident. Those are two totally diametrically opposite things, by the way. But you think that's what you're showing him. And it's like you're showing him there's no place for him. He doesn't have a purpose. Men need a purpose. That's why they often say men need you to have needs. I actually had a client just said that, this guy, she's like, well, I didn't want to say this and I didn't want to say that. And he goes, I need you to have needs because I want to provide for you. And she about fell over. Because as many times as she'd heard that, she didn't believe it was true. Because she just couldn't let him in. And he was about to go, you know, if you can't let me in, this isn't enjoyable.
So let me ask you, so Ken, let me ask you a question about that scenario with your client.
Yeah.
Does that stem, though, of her not allowing him to step into the relationship and be the man that he wanted to be? Does that stem from her childhood and maybe her father or someone not showing up for her and feeling like, I need to do this all on my own?
It could be. You know, everybody's different. There's different catalysts for that. But the point is, and this is the biggest thing that's so important, is if we let our past define our future, we're screwed. All that really matters is, where are you now? Mm-hmm. Do you like it or not? Where do you want to be? Going back into the past, all the why this happened and why that happened, it's actually a distraction that keeps you stuck where you are. Because you're going to think, oh, I have to go. Because we have this illusion that, well, if I figure out why, it'll never happen again. That's not true. That's like saying, if I figure out why I got a flat in my car and they find the nail in it, I'll go, oh, I'll never get a flat again. Well, no, you can run over all kinds of stuff and get a flat tire. That doesn't change anything, but that's the promise, right? That's the idea. Ooh, then I'll be free. No, actually, then you'll just be delayed. You've just deferred your life until you find out why. So you've got to go, I don't care about that. I'm going to take ownership of my life. Who do I want to be today? Where do I want to go with that? That's where we have influence, because we can't change the past, right? Yeah. And yeah, maybe it did, but do we need to dig into that? Hey, maybe that was my dad. Okay, cool. Where do I want to go now? Not let's deconstruct it and talk about it for years and dig into it and then call my cousin and my uncle and my aunt and ask them what they thought, and we'll never get forward. So we've got to just, where's my power? It's right here in this moment.
But don't you think that being self-aware helps you move forward? Like, oh, I get it. That's why I do that. So now I know how to shift and pivot around that.
Does it matter, though? Look at it this way. You get sick and you go to the doctor. First of all, when you get sick, do you sit there at home and go, I wonder why I got sick? I'm not going to do anything until I figure out why. No, you just go, I don't feel good, I need some help. Whether I go take some medicine, whether I go to the doctor, you get to the doctor. Does he say, why did you get sick? No. What's wrong? Where do you want to be? How do we treat it? The why is a distraction. And we've gotten addicted to it because just what you said, well, won't that help me pivot? Well, no, the pivot point is here now. Where am I now? Oh, I'm not happy. How do I pivot? We can spend years looking at why. That's the distraction. We've been promised that forever. There's whole industries around looking at it, right? Talk therapy is about, Let's talk about this forever. I mean, you've probably talked this too. I've had women come in and go, I've had therapy for 20 years. I've never felt like I made progress. Wow, but there's that promise, right? There's the carrot out there. One of these days, we're going to have the breakthrough and suddenly you'll be free. Well, come on, 20 years? You haven't got there yet. You've been talking about it longer than it actually happened.
Well, that's what coaches and mentors are for, to help you move you forward and get unstuck.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned something earlier about how a man needs to feel needed. And it's really interesting that you said that because do you know who Dr. Ian Smith is?
No.
So he wrote a book called The Truth About Men. Mm-hmm. And That was one of the things that he said. I saw him interviewed on NBC News, and he said, men want to feel needed, women want to feel wanted. And I remember when he said that in the interview, I'm like, oh my God, I have to ask him to speak at my event. I'm like, that is awesome. And so when he spoke at my event, he really explained how men want to feel needed. And if they don't feel needed in a relationship, they won't stay. So can you explain to the ladies what that truly means?
Well, I mean, again, that's why guys say, you don't need me. And you're deep down going, yes, I do. But he doesn't know what that need is because you've never expressed it. So the thing that men will commit to and marry somebody, we'll just use marriage as the goal, that they are convinced they can make happy. And they will leave somebody they're convinced they can't make happy. So we're hardwired to contribute to your happiness, not to make you happy, but to contribute. Because obviously you make yourself happy, right? You have to take ownership of that. But what happens is, you know, if you're not allowing him to know what that is, i.e. what your needs are, then he's never going to guess them because everybody's needs are different, right? And if you don't tell him, guess what he has to work with? He's going to base how he interacts with you on his ex, on his last girlfriend, because that's the only reference point he has. Well, this worked for Susie. Maybe it'll work for Mary. And now you feel like, well, he doesn't seem to connect with me. It's like, because he's fishing. He has no idea. If you want to be treated the way you need to be treated, you got to let him know what that is. Set him up to win. You've got to literally let him know. And people are like, but the romance is if he just knows. There's a reason that's in the fiction area of the library. It's a fairy tale. It's not real life. Hallmark Channel, note to self, is not reality television. These are all the fantasies that we've been fed, and they are a total disservice because then you sit there waiting for him to figure it out. Men don't speak hint. We don't. We're the world's worst guessers.
Well, what I always say, Ken, is I always say, men are not mind readers. Quit expecting him to read your mind. He can't pick up on the vibe. You need to just tell him. But let's talk about that for a second, because I'm a firm believer that I think that is one of the biggest things that breaks up couples, not only in the dating phase, but in the relationship phase and marriage phase, is communication. Because I feel like men and women communicate so differently. And I think sometimes when a woman gets to that point where, like you said, she needs to tell you, right, what she wants or needs, but I think there's a big caveat there, because how you tell him is very key. Because if you come across as, we need to talk, oh my God, every man has told me that is the worst thing you could ever say to a man, because it's like nails on a chalkboard. He feels like, you know, I'm in trouble by my mom or the principal, and I'm going to get sent to homeroom. Nothing good comes of it. And so can you talk a little bit about how a woman can communicate with a man so that she doesn't come across as, you did this?
Well, the key to all that is getting curious. If you're just like, I need this, right? Or you need to do this, which is just a reverse version of it. What's happening is, you're literally being me-centric. It's all about you. It's egocentric. So you have to switch that to get to where it's we-centric. As a team, how do we work on this? Right? So that means you have to own your role. It has to start with, I'm feeling this. I'm experiencing that. I did this the other day and it felt whatever. Not, why don't you? Where are you? Because that's scolding, right? And everybody has that reaction from their whole life if nobody likes to be scolded, right? The other thing to remember is men want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So if you present it as, how can we work together, instead of, you need to change, it's the same end result. But you're working together. And the together part is, you have to open up about what you need and why you need it, right? What's it provide for you? What's the payoff? Because if you just say, I need, whatever, more communication, I need to hear from you more often. Okay. But if he doesn't know what that form is or what that looks like, he may call you and you wanted him to text. and you're frustrated. He may call you 3 times a day thinking I'm kicking butt on this, and you're hating it because you hate talking on the phone when you're doing work. I actually had that happen to me. There was a woman I dated years ago, and I didn't know this at the time, but we'd have great conversations and, you know, whatever, we talked on the phone. And I ran into her because we had mutual friends months and months after we split up. And this conversation came up about communication. And she said to me, she goes, yeah, you know, I hate talking on the phone. I'm like, what? We talked for hours. And she goes, you're the only person I answer the phone for. And every time I wish I hadn't. I'm like, why did you never tell me? She never mentioned it once that she doesn't like talking on the phone. Well, 2-hour calls make me think she does. So I just kept calling her thinking that's her preferred thing. She never once texted me. It was like, I never knew she was interested in another form of communication. So as much as that was obviously still a bone of contention, she never expressed what she needed. And here's the thing. Women fear that having needs makes them needy, and no man wants a needy woman, right? Makes sense. You make that correlation, but it's not true. Because your needs are things like the example I use is if you were a flower, right? Every flower needs water and sunlight and nutrients and certain temperatures. But it has to have those things. Those are needs. It will not survive. It will not thrive without them. Now, it might want the wind to blow out of the south because that's more comfortable. But it doesn't need the wind to blow out of the south. And that's what we have to look at. Do I really need this? Or is this a want? And it's fine. We all have wants. We all have needs. But if we present everything as a need, what happens is he starts to doubt any of your needs. You're misinforming him. And now he's like, well, if you needed it, why didn't you take care of it yourself? Well, it's not that important. Well, then that's not really a need. That was you trying to get him to do something to represent the real need that you wouldn't own, which was I need to feel like a priority, or I need to feel like you, you know, worry about me, or whatever it is. So this is the difference, and we've got to get clear on that and go, owning our needs is vital, because like you said, nobody's going to guess them.
Right. Well, and I have to say, Ken, for the record, your ex, she was unusual, because most of my clients want the man to call, they don't want him to text. And what I find is most men don't like picking up the phone. So there are plenty of women in my audience that would actually appreciate your actions. So just know that.
No, thank you. And it's funny, right? Because it's like, I believe that too. So I'm like, well, this must be great because we have great conversations.
Yeah.
Totally wrong. So, yeah. Well, but again, that's why you can't assume people know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like if you do, well, you're going to be disappointed.
Exactly. So let's talk about if a woman's been dating a man for a while, like, you know, several months in, or, and they're an exclusive relationship. Okay. Yeah. And let's change that. Sorry. They're an exclusive relationship and now they're 3 years in.
Okay.
Okay. At what point does a man, like, see her as the one he wants to, like how you said, let's just call the end result marriage, right? For everyone that's different, but for all intents and purposes, we'll call it marriage. At what point, you know, does he see her as that one that he could spend the rest of her life with? I know for everybody that's different, but are there certain things that he needs to see in the relationship in order for him to move forward?
Well, again, obviously it's going to be different for every person because of what they're looking for, whether they have family, whatever those dynamics are, right? But the biggest thing, and it's going to take different forms for different couples, is that you're a team, that you're working together. So what's a great way to work together? Set him up to win by letting him know your needs instead of acting like he needs to magically figure stuff out or feeling like you can't do that, like you don't trust him, right? Teammates trust each other. That's why it works, right? You know that, hey, we're both headed towards this goal. So here's the real key, the way I look at it. It's when I say team, what I mean by it is like a partner, right? Because relationships don't necessarily mean partnership. But if you're in a partnership, like even a business partnership, right? You've got an agreement with somebody. We're going to put in this type of effort. We're going to have these mutual risks going for this mutual reward and this outcome. And you don't question it. Like, you're working in the office and, you know, go home at the end of the night. You don't go home and go, are we still business partners? What just happened? You would never think that because you have an agreement to be teammates, to be there for each other. Relationships are very surfacey, right? Oh, there's this guy I hang out with. Or I mean, I've had many people, I'm sure you have too, that say, oh yeah, I've been in a relationship with this guy for 3 years. And I find out they've never actually met or they've seen each other twice. And I'm like, well, that's like a pen pal who once has a visit every once in a while. Like, what are you really in? Is it a partnership? Because that's what works. That's what's sustainable. Relationships are one-sided. They're kind of like, if you imagine a chair, right? When you go sit in a chair, well, probably everybody listening to this sit in a chair some night. What do you do for the chair when you're sitting in it? Nothing, right? The chair's doing all the work. It's supporting you. It's allowing you to relax and be your best and recuperate and whatever's going on. When you get out of that chair, do you turn around and go, what can I do for you? Never.
I do.
Do you really? Wow.
No.
But that's the point, is we get to this thing where we assume if we just give and give and give and give and give, it'll eventually turn around and they'll be our chair. No, that won't happen. Partnership is like a teeter-totter. You're both engaged the whole time, back and forth. There's no chair. You can't have a partnership without two people being engaged in it. But a chair, which is what most people are doing, is one person's doing it all, hoping the other person eventually steps up. But that's not how they're designed. So a person looking for a chair is not looking to contribute. That's not what they're looking for. So if you present a chair, guess why you get guys that don't contribute? That's what you show them. You don't have to do anything. I'll take care of it.
So this will be the last question. So yeah. I loved your analogy of the chair because I love using analogies because I think it helps people go, oh, now I get what he's saying. Yeah, so now what if a woman does have a chair for a partner? Can a woman change a man?
Ask that again. I didn't quite catch it.
Okay. So if a woman is in a relationship with a chair, right? Can she change the chair to become a teeter-totter or a seesaw, right?
Okay, so I want to make sure we're clear on the analogy. So the chair is the person that's giving and giving and giving. So you're saying she's in a relationship with a man who's just giving and giving and giving and she's just receiving?
Sorry, the opposite.
Okay, so she's giving and giving and he's not doing anything and you want to change him over to team player and commit?
Exactly.
Maybe. But chances are not, and here's why. If he was wanting to be a partner, he wouldn't have been interested in a chair. He would have never been interested.
Yeah.
He was looking for somebody to be back and forth. And all his experience is one-sided. That's not interesting to the guy who's looking for a partner. That's why being a chair doesn't convert over to partnership. Because it's just like, you know, vibrationally, right? If here's this guy vibrating at 90, and you're a chair vibrating at 60, that's not a match. And you're gonna be like, but no, really what I wanna be, I am a 90, but I'm doing this because I was told that's what men want. Yeah, the men down here want that, but that's not who you're looking for. Because inside, remember that essence we talked about? Your essence is here, you're hiding it because you're afraid nobody will really love it, but this guy will. So we've gotta show up as ourselves so that then they go, wow. Like, literally, everybody watching this should go watch something about Mary. She didn't pull any punches. She didn't apologize for any of her behavior. She was successful. She was a sports junkie. She had a brother that was, you know, handicapped, all these different things, right? And everybody was in love with her. She wasn't the perfect thing that everybody's been told. She didn't fit any Cosmo test whatsoever. And people say, yeah, it's Cameron Diaz, though. She's beautiful. None of them were going, she's beautiful. They were like, wow, she's amazing. She's this, she's that. It was all about how she was, not how she dressed up. Because if you notice in most of the scenes, she's not dressed up. She's totally not worrying about that.
Yeah.
So it gives us that reflection of that's what really happens. So unfortunately, you can't really change them because they weren't looking to be a teeter-totter. They were looking for a chair.
Right.
And they found one.
Well, and it just brings us back full circle because, you know, you like you said in the beginning, the first date, you got to show up as how you are, right? Yeah. And you can't be something that you're not, because at some point you're going to realize that your needs aren't being met, right?
Yep.
So, well, this has been amazing, Ken. So how can the ladies find you?
Well, the best avenue is the Facebook group that I have. It's called Professional Women Finding Success in Love. And or you can look up my name on Facebook and it'll get you there. But that's the best place because I do a lot of posts there, a lot of videos and so on. And that's where you're really going to get the most meat.
Awesome. So ladies, go find Ken on Facebook. If you're watching the video, the link is below the video. And if you're listening to the podcast, you can go to Your Next Amazing Story and look for that link, or you can just really go to Facebook. So thanks everybody for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. My show is available both in video and podcast format, which can be found at yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation. Get access to show notes and get more amazing content.